time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
They had no idea what they were talking about. It would be like putting me up at a symposium on how, like a black hole works.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
Perfect. It was all part of my plan to ruin your day. How about that? Boom. Done.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Your mark is the biggest wheeler dealer out there, I think, in the conference commissioners right now. And he's a talker. He's a big talker. He might be flirting, might be batting his eyes, might be putting stuff out.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and I'm going to start with an announcement. I got an announcement to make. Ross Dellinger and I are no longer friends. I am no longer friends with you, Ross.
Yeah?
What's happened? What's the rift on our pod here?
The airing of the grievances will begin as such. There were probably plenty of things, but I'm going to overlook many others. Ross says, you know, we should discuss this NIL hearing on Capitol Hill on the pod. So I get work done. I clear some time to watch this. And I emerged like 3 hours later with my eyes glazed over, dumber than I already was, wow. Confused about everything, and absolutely disgusted at the federal government. Man. And it's all Ross's fault. Otherwise, I would have had a perfectly fine afternoon not paying attention to Washington, which is one of my hobbies. So, Ross, explain yourself.
Goal met. Perfect. It was all part of my plan to ruin your day. How about that? Boom. Done. So, yeah, we had the 8th congressional NIL hearing in the last three and a half years, I guess. This one was, most of the others have been in the Senate. This one was in the House. And as is the case with the House membership, it's a little more... I'm trying to put
dumb.
This nicely. Huh?
Dumb?
I'm trying to put this nicely, I say, and Dan Wetzel comes in with dumb.
Can I be arrested for that? I may be arrested by the end of this podcast.
And kind of knew that it would be
against the government.
Be a little more, because it was the House, be a little more maybe dysfunctional and disorganized and, let's say, clownish. And it was. It was. You know, many of the questions and the line of questioning took you back to 4 years ago. It was almost like this was the first NIL hearing, and they've been just hearing about it and just learning about it. You know, we had one lawmaker come out with Georgia memorabilia, a Georgia rug, a red Georgia coat he wore. Then we had another from Florida who had the Gators helmet on the podium as she's talking. Go Gators, she said. Great day to be a Florida Gator. I mean, it was circus-like. And that's how the House is. I texted in the middle of the hearing, I texted a House aide, and I said, is this how it always is over here? He responded, welcome to the people's house. It's a show every day. It's like, great. Great. Wonderful. But, you know, I didn't glean much from it. You know, I think the two sides, Republicans and Democrats, which it was a bipartisan hearing, there was at least that. And, you know, you could tell from the line of questioning, the Republicans were one way, right, in the line of questioning, and the Democrats were another. Nobody's changed their opinion. The Republicans want a, you know, somewhat narrow, streamlined NIL bill. The Democrats want something more broad. And, you know, I think the only thing I got from after the hearing, from doing some interviews and talking to some people, is that this committee is going to start working on a bill, another bill on NIL. It's very in the very first early stages. Certainly, it's way behind some of the Senate bills. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed the fun, Dan.
So is this the clownish nature of this just simply because these guys are always running for re-election? So like everything you're doing is just to curry favor with your voters, you know? That's why you're running around with a gator.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, raising right. money or something.
Right. Yeah.
First off, Ross is being quite equitable in even coming up with the idea that the Democrats had one plan and the Republicans had another. There were times in this hearing when the same politician would argue both sides.
Yeah, that's true.
They had no idea what they were talking about. It would be like putting me up at a symposium on how like a black hole works. Like, I don't know. I know there's a thing called the black hole and you can get kind of sucked in it maybe. Like, that's it. I would be, and I just make stuff up. It would be like me questioning the great astrophysicists of America, except they didn't have the great astrophysicists. The entire thing was absurd. We had things like, oh, we found out one guy, because we had somebody there from Virginia, state of Virginia. I have grandkids down in Virginia. Okay, great. Thanks, sir. Thanks for playing.
And we had a John McEnroe mention. Yeah. I mean, we had a robot tackling dummy mention. I mean, it went off the rails real quickly.
I love
quickly.
College sports. When I was in college, I saw John McEnroe play.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
Okay, great. That has absolutely nothing to do with anything. Okay, here's your parting gift. What are we doing? Like these questions, it wasn't, the whole thing was nonsense. It was like, I don't even know, nobody understood any parts of the issue. They would argue things that made no sense. Like, okay, there was a guy from Michigan who was arguing that, he brings up that Albion College, okay, a Division III, had increased its student enrollment from 800 students to 1,700 by adding sports teams, right? Okay, true. This is a business model for these D3 schools that are running out of students. They just add teams and the kids come in and pay and they can make money and stay open by adding sports teams, okay? It's basically travel sports with a school attached. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Good for Adrian College, okay? No problem. What the hell does that have to do with anything? What do we do?
Nothing to do with name, image, and likeness.
No. Great. And if anything, then he's arguing, like they're arguing like, well, we have to protect Division III college sports. And you're like, you just pointed out it's nothing but a money-making scam. Like, it's, I don't even call it a scam, but right? It's a scheme. Yeah. This isn't we have to protect the sanctity of college sports. You just added every team you could possibly come up in every sport possible to stay afloat. I don't know what we're saying. Like that we're discussing this and you're like, this is not, come on, let's stay on point, people. Focus, focus.
There was not a lot of focus. That was a big problem. There was not a lot of focus. And one of the big issues for me was, and for some people in the NIL space that I heard from today, was that, you know, they peppered the witnesses with questions about collectives, right? And how collectives work and the function of collectives. And there was nobody, no witness there that worked at a collective. And a lot of the questions were directed at Jen Heppel of the commission of the Patriot League. And I talked to her afterward and she just kind of like, look, guys, we don't have collectives. You know what I mean? Like,
she said that on the stand.
Patriot League, not a real big collective hotbed.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
nothing against Jen Heppel, right? Or any of the people, right? They got called in to do this thing. I don't know, but why? Where? Who came up with this guest list?
Yeah, it's political. It's all political, right? A lot of the things that you heard in the line of questioning and the blustering of all these it's all to get on the record and get quoted. Like Pat said about re-election, it's all for political reasons. And the witness list, in a lot of ways, I think, had a lot of political reasons to it. And I think you have one former Florida University football player, Trey Burton, and you had a Florida State, Kaylee Mudge, a Florida State softball player. So you had two Florida people. Most of the lawmakers that asked questions were from Florida, right? The chair is from Florida. The ranking member, the vice chair, maybe it was vice chair. I don't know. Anyway, I get them all confused. But she's from Washington, state of Washington, and that's why Washington State Athletic Director Pat Chun was there. So it's all from their districts, a lot of this stuff. And the other two people there were Jen the Virginia State University president, as well as Jason Stahl, who is the College Football Players Association founder or director. That was the only interesting part from the witnesses. To me, that was the most interesting part.
Much to say.
Yeah.
Other than the AD at Washington a little.
Jason Stahl and Pat Jun going back and forth. They really didn't go back and forth, so to speak, but in a way they did. They each were sitting right next to each other. And obviously they each had very different viewpoints of how this thing should be fixed. You know, Jason Stahl was arguing for collective bargaining, maybe even employment, all this stuff. And Pat Jun was arguing for a congressional bill to police NIL. So that was interesting. Right? It was. But beyond that, we didn't have much.
They had the Patriot League there. They asked the Patriot League about collectives. Commissioners, like, we don't have any collectives.
Okay,
I mean, who cares? Patriot League.
Like,
just be glad you can't.
If Greg Sankey's busy, get Charlie Hussey or get her. Somebody from the SEC office. Get somebody from the Big Ten office. Come on.
They got the president of Virginia State there. He says they have five athletes have deals, and collectively they're worth less than 10 grand. Okay, great.
What are we doing? Right. What are we doing? And the great, you know, a great witness list would have probably been, you know, a Power Five commissioner. The new NCAA president would have been great. For whatever reason, that didn't happen. A Power Five athletic director. And then maybe one administrator or something from the lower type of league. And then one football player, one like current football player and one basketball player. I mean,
Trey Burton's like, I remember when I played college. It was a while ago.
The players don't necessarily understand the biggest picture, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
You really
it was interesting
need
to hear the players, though, Dan, say, you know,
they were arguing against their own economic benefits.
Correct. Okay, they were arguing off, against Burton, employment, against revenue sharing.
Yeah, they were going back and forth on stuff. Burton, great. His funniest part was he thought inducements would ruin college sports. Like, man, you played for the Urban Meyer Gators. Let's, you know, I think it's a resilient sport. It's a resilient, okay? Everything was just boogie. There was, again, I always say, where's the problem? Somebody show me the problem, okay? Softball player's like, well, I think we should have, and she did great, but I think we should have the federal government involved because, you know, we don't know what's going on with collectives and you have to learn and you don't really know and you can get taken advantage of. And they're like, did you get taken advantage of? Like, no, Florida State helped me learn and understand the system.
The Florida State collectives paying for part of her nursing school.
Right.
That she will go to.
And somehow this was a negative. and she wasn't fooled. There was these wild accusations that there's an agent out there who took someone's caused an 80% commission. Did we know who that is? Anyone heard that story? No. There's inducements.
Never heard of that before.
Yeah, there's inducements going on. Do we have any proof of it? Someone's like, guys are tampering on FAU's roster right now. Okay, again, what is the... you're going to make that a federal offense? Holy cow. We already did the FBI trial. That was bad enough. They were going all over the place. Nobody had any idea. Then they're like, wow, this. And if you're running college athletics, okay, and this is how you're treating the future, you're leaving the future in some way to these people. You should be fired. These people are not capable of running your sport. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no interest in knowing what they're doing. They don't even understand the concepts of what they're doing. And the people that are running this vast enterprise of college athletics need to do better.
We've been saying that on the podcast for years because ever since they've tried to enlist Congress, it's been painfully obvious that A, Congress doesn't get it. B, Congress doesn't really want to get it. C, Congress should be spending its time on other stuff. So the continued efforts here to turn this into a congressional issue just seem like I don't know whether it's desperation, stubbornness, or a clear just like SOS that we can't do it. We need somebody else. But that's clearly not the people to go to. I mean, if there was anybody came out of this thing, and I didn't pay as much attention to it as you guys, and said, "Oh yeah, these are the folks that are gonna really help college sports." Come on.
Well, we've glossed over the very start of the hearing, which I believe two lawmakers just inaccurately talked about the Supreme Court, Alston Supreme Court ruling, which of course had nothing to do with NIL. It was about educational related benefits, and they lumped it in as a Supreme Court basically allowing NIL when we all know that state legislatures did this and opened the door. So it was pretty obvious from the very start that there was a lack of understanding of this issue.
How about when they let somebody, I can't remember, I didn't write down who, I have notes here, that Title IX could be reversed by NIL. How?
Really?
You're like, what are we talking about? Nobody knows. That's a law. Pat, you can't even believe how dumb this stuff was. And I'm telling you, you are opening Pandora's box with these guys. Yeah. Run from them. Deregulate your NIL rules. Fight like hell to keep everyone from being an employee. Stay away. I'll give you an example. Somebody brings up 77%, and I have no idea if this is true, but it sounds plausible. But with this crew, forget it. 77% of influencer money out there, just the regular influencers of society, 77% of the money goes to women. Okay?
Yep.
Women influencers. Mm. TikTok, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Women student athletes only get 16.2% of NIL.
Yeah.
So now they're saying, wait a minute, are the schools doing enough to promote and get their athletes, their female athletes 50-50 and their collectives paying 50-50 to women and men, which is the exact opposite of what this whole thing is supposed to be about to begin with. But you can see this one coming, and you should be running. So you're going to take all the collective money, and now every student athlete on every team, man or woman, is going to have to get an equal share. And you're Ohio State, and you got 36 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. And you ask for this? And you pay a lobbyist to try to bring these people in? Like, that came up, and I was like, ooh, this is interesting. I never thought of this. Where do they get their hands on this little bit? Why does the backup field hockey goalie not make as much money as CJ Stroud? Oh, well, it's a little thing called popularity, and like, right? This is supposed to be straight business, right? If you can influence, you make the money. That's the beauty of influencer, right?
Yep.
And I could see that one wheel. I'm like, oh boy. I mean, if you're running one of these things, you do not want these people in your life. They have no idea what they're doing.
Dan, do you know, Jason Stahl mentioned, and again, he was sitting, you know, right next to Pat Chun, the athletic director of Washington State. And he said several times, you know, that we as the College Football Players Association have tried to sit down with administrators at the bargaining table to collective bargaining, that this will fix the issue is collective bargaining. And he brought it up, you know, multiple times. And there were actually some Republican lawmakers that asked him questions. And as soon as he started talking about, you know, collective bargaining and revenue sharing, it was a real quick switch and his time was over. Jason's was talking and they moved on to something else. And it happened at least three times. And I was talking to Jason about it afterward and he was kind of laughing about it. But I was curious, I was going to ask you, Dan, about what you thought about Jason's comments about collective bargaining. And is that the answer to all of this? I found his testimony interesting.
Well, I think the schools, I would pursue that path before this path. Let me put it that way. I would pursue, because that union, we said it before, the union is going to be extremely weak.
Right.
And I think the players, it actually would not help the players. If I was a football player, I would not join that union. I don't think that union will have any power at all to help people, because the only power in a union is work stoppage. You have to be able to stop. You have to stop the Chevy plant, and that's it. That's the only way to get them. You have, and they'll never be able to get a strike. You're not getting these kids to strike. I said this, I was on the Andy Staples show, so I'm trying to remember. I don't want to repeat my example, but if you can, you're going, look, we need better health care and $2 more an hour. You're not building the Chevy Silverado tomorrow. That's your only chance. They'll never get players who have such short careers, so many divergent interests, so excited about the team aspect of winning, trying to get to the leagues, all that stuff, to ever sit there before a Final Four or a football season and say, I'm going on strike. These kids will never do it. So that I would welcome, if I was college sports leadership, I would welcome that union to negotiate with, because they're going to be so weak. But I understand that you say the word union or labor or negotiation and they all break out in hives and they don't even want to hear the comments, right? But I think they're missing that, and they're running to this, and this is going to be a mistake, because these people will come up with all sorts of stuff that will make their lives miserable. Can you imagine if they actually tried to implement, and they, believe me, that's on the radar, and it's in their world, it's not a bad argument. Why isn't everyone getting a fair share, right? Imagine trying to monitor that. I mean, they're already doing stuff like, we want to monitor, okay, I'm going to give you 100, what's an inducement, right? I'm going to give you 100 grand to be a player at my school. Well, it's okay if you do a proper amount of work, but if you don't, then it's an inducement. And this is kind of like when they tried to come up with the transfers, right? And right. They said, well, do you have a good enough sob story or not? Mm-hmm. How close are you to the dialysis uncle? Right. And eventually they just were like, this is impossible. We give up. It's like when they tried to come up with, when they used to make kids academically redshirt. They said, well, you don't have high enough ACT. Well, no, maybe you can do it with a sliding scale. And then, but what about this? Well, I got this disability. All right. This is impossible. We give up. And they're trying to do that again with this, which will be even worse, because everyone's going to sue them and say, I'll pay whatever I want to pay, right? It's like, some guy in Saudi Arabia wants to pay Tiger Woods $1 billion to play a round of golf. Hey, that's his market, right? So you can't come up. They're trying that, and then they're going to have this. And then it's like, dude, stop regulating. Come up with the union if you have to avoid the employee thing. Because that union is going to be weak. And if I was a good football player, I don't know if I would join that union. I don't think it's actually going to help you. I think you have more power just being off on your own.
Yeah. Well, this has been the big glaring flaw, or if you want to say gamble, in the NCAA's strategy here is trying to thread a needle between full-on commerce and having some control over whether it overpay for play. Or some discouragement of pay for play. And yeah, how you figure that out? How you prove it, enforce it, and make it work? I mean, that was always the problem with this. You know? Yes, we can have NIL, you can make money. Oh, but you can't get it up front. It can't be so that you choose Texas A&M over Texas. Good luck. I mean, you're setting up a whole different set of things you're going to try to police and probably do a bad job of. Instead of just letting it happen, so to speak, with some moderate guidelines, or at least some beyond even that, just like I was talking about, I would like to see let's see the data on who's getting what. I would like to see that registered with the schools, with the conferences, with the NCAA.
Try not to laugh at this next thing I'm about to say, but after the hearing, just talking to some aides and lawmakers, they were fairly ecstatic about the way things went. They were really excited about the hearing and learned a lot of information. So, and I think the next step is, again, I think it's the Florida congressman, the chair of the committee. I don't know how to say his last name, but it's Gus Bilirakis. And I think he will probably start getting to work on writing text to a bill. And one person I did talk to there does have some confidence and optimism in actually a bill getting through the committee and onto the floor and actually out of the House. quicker than the Senate because the Republicans control the House and they'll have a narrow bill. It'll be more streamlined. And they think they maybe can, as they call it, a skinny bill and get it out over to the Senate.
Which what are they really trying to get? Just they're trying to make sure there's a law that says college athletes can't be employees. Is that really all they really care about?
They as in the House Republicans or the
House Republicans the that are working with the college administrators because
I think
the House Republicans have no idea. They're arguing against most of their principles. I mean, they listen to stupid stuff. The Washington State president said, someone was asking him something. He's like, yeah, they're like, well, this you're only making money off of one or two sports and then you're funding all these other ones. They're kind of like, that doesn't make any sense. That's a terrible model, right? And he's like, yeah, that's a flaw in our model. And he's basically saying, but you need to write a law to make sure we keep the flaw going. And the lady who's saying that was a dumb idea to set something up where only one sport pays for everything was agreeing that they should come up with a law to protect that stupid idea. It was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, our business model is flawed, is what Washington State AD Pat Chun said. And we wanted to talk about how two sports pay for everything else. So I think the number one priority for them in any kind of bill is going to be a uniform standard in to preempt the state laws. That's going to be number one, right? Is to have a uniform standard of NIL. Probably put
really
in
really isn't a bit of a big problem because no one has enforced any NIL law.
Correct. And they're not that different from one another.
No, they aren't.
Some of them don't exist at all. That's
not a thing that they've said as a thing because it sounds reasonable.
Yeah. But
there's no, again, all the boogeymen out there, none of these things, they had not one person had one bit of proof of any problem. There was no problems presented. There were,
and then in any bill out of the House, the big question, there's two big questions. So it would have some kind of standard language. It would have some medical trust, it would have the lifetime scholarship stuff, had all that stuff. But the two big questions are, does it have some kind of antitrust protection in it? Number one. And number two, does it rule that college athletes are students in not employees? So both of those things are going to be hard to get through, right? A Democratic-controlled Senate. It'll be difficult to get both those things through. I have a hard time believing they'll get any kind of antitrust protection. And that's, right, the NCAA and college leaders, like, that's their whole goal, right? They think they need some kind of protection so they will avoid being sued for enforcing their bylaws and their policies. And number two, they don't want to see student athletes turned into employees. So that's the two big things. And I don't know that either one are getting into some kind of bill.
Yeah, they're in a lot of trouble with this thing. We'll see. But this Hail Mary is it's a long one. It's a long one. All right, let's not get too far into it because it was really something else. I'm sure you can find it on like C-SPAN 9 somewhere if you want to watch the replay.
I'm sure Pat will get right on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm really sad I missed all that today. But I did want to actually broach something. I thought a productive email from a listener who said that he was yelling into his headphones at Dan.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this was this was a point that I wanted to make and didn't make very well, that's for sure. Anyway, this guy's got a six-year-old son. He listens during feedings and diaper changes. So Godspeed, Matthew.
6 months, right? Say 6 years or 6 months?
Okay. 6 weeks. 6 weeks.
Oh, six weeks. Old. Okay.
Yeah, No. Not 6 years. No.
I hope not. Jeez. All right. 6 weeks. Anyway. Yeah. Been there. It's tough.
Yes. Yes. You'll take a podcast. You'll take anything.
All right. Hit me up.
So this is, anyway, the point that I wanted to make and didn't make, and he is now making. So he said, in Dan's example, sure, Progressive could offer Pat Mahomes a $1 billion endorsement, which we talked about that as outside of his contract with the Chiefs. He said, however, that deal is not contingent on him immediately transferring to the Browns. He's under contract for X number of years with the Chiefs. And that's the problem that we have with college scholarships. They're not binding contracts. And so what these
I use the example. Listen, this young dad, we've been there. He is sleep deprived and changing diapers. I used Lamar Jackson as the example.
I thought you said Mahomes.
Yeah, I probably talked about Mahomes otherwise. I also got his insurance companies wrong, which shows what these things are even worse. He's with Jake from State Farm.
That's true. Oh, come on. Got that wrong.
No, I understand. Look, at all this can be solved if they make them employees.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. And pay the, I mean, but they don't want to. Like, if I could wave a magic wand and redo this whole thing, that's one thing, but we're kind of stuck. So I try to like find the best path possible. But yes, I get it. But you could, like, when you're a free agent, you could sit there and say, where are we going?
Right. But then that's, well, the argument is they have free agency right now in college.
They do. They have the transfer portal, which was bemoaned, even though that wasn't part of the thing either.
Which one of the lawmakers called it the portals. The portals. What's up with the portals? And then somebody, I think, said NILs. The NILs and the portals. And I'm like, oh, boy. Here we go. Walmart, so Target, the whole thing.
There was so much state going on. It was painful. It was like, oh, my gosh, some of these people might make wrong decisions. Some of these people are going to have to learn how this works. Come on. Is there any accountability, any expectations out there in America anymore? Any? Can anyone do anything? You think the government is going to, the federal, have you tried to fill out your taxes? Okay. Oh, this is a group that really knows how to streamline the information process. Whatever. Yeah. Well, I get the point. The tampering is the tampering. That's a different issue they got to try to crack down on, but that's also impossible to crack down on. But I don't care if someone wants to pay somebody that much money. Your problems are less if you just let some extreme thing go than trying to deal with all of this nightmare over the perception that there might be a problem. I'll give you another example from the hearing. The Virginia State president actually noted that of all the examples of bad things that happened to people that did not exist, there were no examples. There was not a single concrete example, no names, no incidents, nothing, no problems, zero. Nobody had one thing, no evidence, except the Virginia State president mentioned that he had met someone that day who got in trouble with the NCAA because he got disqualified or whatever. What do they call it? Banned or whatever, because he received $200. The only person that was brought up with a tangible story was someone who got his college eligibility revoked because he took 200 on the old system. The new system, nothing. It was just, I heard, like,
I still like, how would somebody get their college eligibility revoked over $200 unless it was for
deemed
like,
ineligible or something?
Well, like for two games.
Because he got punished in the thing. All right. I don't know. That was the closest thing we had to an actual, anyone had actually met this Bigfoot of problem out there. The Sasquatch of problems. I heard that a guy got 80. Well, you know what? If you're dumb enough to, why would you agree to that guy? Let that guy be your agent. What with a new agent? It was terrible. It is terrible. Quite honestly, the people in college athletics think their student athletes are idiots, and they just do. They just do. They'd never want their own child treated that way. They never would have wanted to be treated that way at 19, 20, 21 years old. I sure wouldn't have. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe you need your blanket. Are we done with this topic? Because
I think
Ross
so.
Ruined enough of my day.
We're done. We're steamed out.
Yeah. I'm on the road to forgiving. This was therapeutic.
Ah, there we go.
I'm on the road to forgiving.
You had to fight through.
All right. I want to ask this. San Diego State is in the Final Four, and they had been linked as the most likely candidate to jump to the Pac-12 if the Pac-12 wanted to expand. They have a good football program. They've had a good, very good basketball program. Now they've made this breakthrough. They built a new football stadium in the old stadium down there that had like a million names. It's pretty close to campus. Not quite on campus, but very close. It's San Diego. Big city, big market. I don't think San Diego State dominates the market like, you know, maybe Ohio State and Columbus or anything, but it's Southern California. The weather's great. Hey, it's good, right? So very attractive deal. could also be attractive to the Big 12. The Big 12 really wants to go out there. Maybe they stake a flag down in San Diego. My question is this: does the Final Four push them over the top, where it's like one of these two leagues is going to move because it's no longer just, hey, these guys got some stuff. Does this one singular event and possible national title put them over the top? What do you think, Pat?
I do. First of all, I mean, I think they're going, they were probably going to go anyway, but I think this is your proverbial icing on the cake. The closing of the deal is, you know, I think the Pac-12 is looking around and saying, who can win national championships for us? Well, San Diego State basketball's in the running. Got a good chance. They're favored, I believe, to be playing on Monday night in the championship game. They beat number one Alabama. They beat Creighton of the Big East. They're in the mix, and they have been really good for 20 years almost in basketball. So this is that next step. I think it really, really helps them, just as far as, like, you know, if you're the school leadership, you're no longer sitting there talking about in theoretical terms of, yeah, we could get there. We could get there. Now you're like, we are there. Look, we're playing in the Final Four, man. So I think it's should be close to a slam dunk for the Pac-12. I don't, you know, I'm sure, you know what? Going to Dan's example from the last podcast, if you're San Diego, you lie and say the Big 12 is after us too, so that we can get a better deal out of this. But, and maybe the Big 12 is after them. But I think this
they'll have to write that down so that everybody knows, public database. I'm sure.
can't imagine what you're referring to.
Can you imagine coaches actually going for this? Hey, if anyone wants to talk to you, you have to let us know first.
Yeah, that would put Jimmy Sexton out of business.
Yeah, Jimmy Sexton. My goodness. Mm-hmm. You just hire Jimmy Sexton, they give you a raise.
Right. But no, I think this is it for San Diego State. I think this is what pushes them, you know, the proverbial, we're on the 1 yard line. I think they're in the end zone now.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Pat in that I don't know that they needed it, you know, but certainly it's not hurting. But I don't know that they really needed it. I felt like the Pac-12 was going to go there no matter what. But you would think now with the publicity they're getting in all of this, and not only this, right? They've shown success in football too for the last several years. And Dan said they have brand new stadium. I actually went out there and visited it back in July. It's incredible. It's beautiful. It's built like a kind of a minor league soccer stadium. It's probably got the most taps, beer taps, in a football stadium.
It's another reason for every league to be after.
It's incredible. It's really incredible. There's the whole way it's built. It's awesome. It's an awesome experience. But yeah, in football in general, I was like looking up just to see, but you know, they've hit double digit wins, you know, five or six of the last 8 years or so, you know, finishing the top 25 a couple times. So they've kind of proven they can hang at their level. And I don't think, like I said, I don't think they needed it, but clearly it is not hurting. And I would imagine, you know, that I think some presidents, Pac-12 presidents have said this publicly, but the media rights deal, TV deal, the Pac-12, which now the target is more mid-April, which continues to get pushed back further and further. So who knows? But that the TV deal, you know, will be a big part of do they expand and how many they expand. So we'll hopefully know in the next 2 to 3 weeks about that.
You know, they have 35,000 students, lots of alums. I don't know how many alums. Like, one thing is just sort of awakening that school pride.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't had, obviously basketball has been good, but it hasn't had that rallying point that other schools do. You know, even like when like Utah was not Power Five in the Pac-12, like Utah always had that connection, those fans there.
Yep.
As the university, this is the state, you know, this is Cal State system, all of that. So maybe this helps awaken that. And I don't know, maybe that helps bring some people to football next year and builds it up. But this to me as much as it doesn't matter, it just feels like that spark that's like someone's got to grab these guys. And if we don't do it first, it will not necessarily bring more media rights money, but it's just like, this is a, like, it's good to be in California.
Yeah. Southern California. You know? Yeah. They, you would think they would need
a good place to be.
Yeah. Need a team in Southern California. They need their teams to play somebody down there in Southern California.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Cause everybody's still going to want to recruit Southern California. And that, you know, that's the thing. And we talked about this in regard to like to Alabama, where the spotlight would have just gone up, you know, like triple by making the Final Four. Well, the good spotlight goes up double or triple too for the teams that make it. Mm. You know, Florida Atlantic is having, you know, a popularity it's never seen before. San Diego State, yes. If you're looking for something to get laid back, Southern California is really excited about your school and your athletics. Not much better than this.
Yeah, Florida Atlantic, they hopefully have a story at some point come out about it, but they didn't have a like NIL collective at all up until like a few days ago. And so they went, their collective went to $0 to 65,000, and they're hoping to hit 100,000 by the weekend. So it's incredible what a run like this will do for especially a smaller program.
All right. Also in California expansion news, this was in the Sun, which is in the, it covers Fresno, not the B, but in the kind of the Valley area paper website. And there was a report, the Fresno State president was talking, and they have a thing called Measure E that Fresno State is trying to pass that will raise a ton of money, like a, a huge amount of money to build a lot of stuff. And it, part of it is to go to athletics. And during a conference call, the president confirmed rumors that the Big 12 is interested in Fresno State, saying that the major conference would like to add a strong West Coast brand to its ranks. Mm. And that was part of the bit that Fresno State's athletic future needs to get this passage of Measure E. It's kind of complicated, but the president of Fresno State is publicly saying that the Big 12 is interested in Fresno State. Have we heard anything on that? And could this be the Big 12 trying to swoop in and saying, I'll take Fresno and San Diego State and try to outflank the Pac-12 or something? Anyone?
It could be. Knowing Brett Yormark, it could be. I think Fresno State was mentioned maybe by John Canzano, reporter out of Oregon, a few weeks back, that Fresno State was mentioned as with the Pac-12, and so is, you know, Colorado State. I think we talked about that. So maybe, you know, we're having a turf war. I can't imagine that a Fresno State would bring a whole lot. I know that the Big 12's part of the Big 12's TV deal. They get pro rata for each Power 5 team they add, but not G5 team.
Yeah, I don't know, but that would seem to fall under the old dilutive category of like you're not bringing in enough value to increase the shares to other people. You're just decreasing the shares, you know, the amount per share, I should say, because it's just one more entity, but it's not going to, you know, more than pull its weight for what everybody else is already getting. Who knows? I mean, you know, I mean, Yormark is the biggest wheeler dealer out there, I think, in the conference commissioners right now. And he's a talker. He's a big talker. He might be flirting, might be batting his eyes, might be putting stuff out. You know, we'll see if he actually means it. I mean, he's
flirting with Fresno?
Yeah. Maybe, you know, for what reason?
Flirt.
I don't know.
Fresno's just sitting there waiting for the phone to ring.
Come on. Of course.
You don't have to flirt.
No. But that's like, so what's the point? Do they really want Fresno? Do they really want Fresno? Or A, you know, are they trying to mess with the Pac-12 still some more? Or
I think is the Fresno president
doing like, is he pulling a Wetzel and just lying? Yeah. Saying, yeah, they're interested in this.
Please register with the truth-telling. Just disgusted at the eye. Something about Yormark batting his eyes at Fresno. Just...
He's a big fan of produce. There's a lot of great produce in that valley.
Like almond market.
I mean, I don't see it, but you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to see. Yeah.
Wait, would that give them four time zones? Would that give them all the time zones, right? In the Big 12, they don't have the Pacific time zone.
They don't have the Pacific, right? That would be the, they have.
I mean, you grab Fresno and San Diego State and you're in California.
Yeah.
You know?
And Gonzaga's sitting out there as a non-football.
Right. Fresno's like off-brand California, you know, right? It's like rural.
It definitely is. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, hey, man, let's go surfing.
not in Fresno.
No.
Not
quite. It's 137 degrees. Yeah. And anyway, it's a good place. I mean, they do have fans and all that. It just doesn't seem like the you can see SMU far more than that. Who knows? Who's lying? Everyone's lying. That's what we're told, right? Everyone's lying.
That's what we've been told.
Call
Big
the Congress.
Part of this. Yep.
Because they don't like liars in Congress. We know that. All right, one final four question. I'll throw this to Pat. UConn's heading into this thing as the favorite.
Yep.
You know, we hear lots about blue bloods and we have the Champions Classic and all that. No one's won more titles this century than the 2000 than UConn, right? Four. This could be five. Danny, right? Has anyone won that many?
You got to go back to you got to go back to 99 for one thing. That was their first.
Oh, 99. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But still, so in the last, from 99 onward, no. So Duke's won in 01, 10, and 15. Villanova's won 2. North Carolina, 5, 9, 17. So no, nobody's won in the last 25 years.
This could be number
years.
5. If they win number 5 and they got Dan Hurley and they've got back in the Big East. Is this the reawakening of the juggernaut?
Hell yes. Yes, it is.
This would be the third coach. I mean, Calhoun's unbelievable, but this would be the third coach to do it.
Third different coach to do it. Now you're getting into some pretty rare territory. Okay. Like North Carolina's done that. Kentucky has done that. I don't know whether anybody else has. I'm just thinking off the top of my head here. That might be about it. And you do that with three different coaches, that's pretty impressive. And the thing is, Dan Hurley is a relatively young guy. He's like 50. He could be doing this for 15 years, 20 years, who knows? I mean, he goes hard. He may burn himself out. But, boy, you'd sure like to be hitched to his wagon right now. It's a great fan base. They care deeply about basketball. They will do what it takes to be good in basketball in terms of I'm sure, NIL opportunities and everything else. And, of course, there's a million players in the Northeast, and somehow Jim Calhoun got guys from Seattle and Houston and California and other places to go to one of the worst college towns in the country. So maybe Dan Hurley
foliage.
Can, too.
It's the foliage.
Yes.
The foliage.
The foliage that's buried under 8 feet of snow.
When you talk to guys on the AAU circuit, they're always talking about their desire of foliage. Look. UConn's always been able to get guys out of New York. That's been a big thing. I don't know. Yep. I just think like this could be the start of something big again.
Yes.
They had their little downtime. There's a feud and all that. Kevin Ollie fired and then they weren't in the right league, but now they're back. Hurley's there. I mean, look out. Like you can talk about all these other teams, but UConn's got the rings.
Yep.
You know, absolutely. Talk about all your other blue blood. Champions Classic, man. I ain't seen that many. The champions right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Storrs, Connecticut. So they go number 5 in the last 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be it, right?
Yep.
99. Yeah.
How many Kansas teams have ever won Kansas 5 in 24 years?
Yeah.
No, UCLA, obviously. Anybody else?
Right. I'd have to think about it.
I don't know.
That's a lot in a condensed period.
Yeah.
Duke probably did. Duke's first one was 91.
They got those two, yeah.
Yeah, that was 24 years they won 5, so.
Okay, so they would match the Duke run.
Yeah,
but it's pretty amazing. Know. I just think UConn is back, and they're about to get really back.
Yep.
And I think it'll go that way forward. All right, I have a couple old stories that I somehow came upon today. Don't ask. Probably while I was watching this stupid meeting.
You suddenly found yourself deep in the Daily Mail archives or what?
Yeah, I kind of did. I'm going to start with this one. So this is not new, but Zimbabwe.
Oh, dear.
Zimbabwe has a thing called they have an annual contest called Mr. Ugly. It's the anti-beauty pageant for men. So a 42-year-old Zimbabwean man named Myson Siri, he won the country's fourth annual Mr. Ugly contest. However, the decision enraged the fan favorite and his supporters, who claim Siri was actually too handsome, end quote. Too handsome to win the Mr. Ugly contest. The issue is judges cited Siri's missing teeth and capacity for unpleasant facial expressions in their decision. His missing teeth. Yeah,
we have pictures.
Oh, yeah. My M-I-S-O-N-S-E-R-E. Bad teeth. Bad. I mean, there's no way around it. The man entered a Mr. Ugly competition, so I don't feel too bad.
Oh, no.
His rival. Rival noted that Siri was, quote, ugly only when he opens his mouth.
Oh.
So when he keeps his mouth closed, he's fairly handsome. And if you look at him, that's possible. Therefore, he was not really ugly. Okay? And there actually was violence attached to this. Some of the fans got really fired up and tried to attack the judges.
Wow.
Who deemed this guy Mr. Ugly. Mr. Ugly did not care. He said, they should accept that I am uglier than them. He said, I hope to get a TV contract. I already moved around schools performing and showcasing my ugliness, so this is a chance to make it on TV.
Oh, my.
The question I have for you guys, people's court style here, would be, is he too ugly, or is the open mouth clause, is that a winning argument that, like, he can close his mouth and not that ugly?
No, I'll say that since you have to open your mouth to talk and eat, that he's plenty, his ugliness is on display plenty, and he is a absolutely deserving winner because he's horrifying to look at. Good God.
Nightmares. Pat's going to have nightmares.
Yeah, I am.
Just like a beauty pageant, the ugly pageant, you would think you have to smile, right? And you have to smile as you're walking down the runway or whatever. So if you smile, it sounds like he's ugly enough. So I think this is a bunch of BS.
Well, like in the Miss America or the beauty pageants, you have to show different sides of yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evening wear. You have to wear the evening gown, the bathing suit, right, the whole thing. Yeah, I don't know. Let me see what the competition. It's been going on since 2012. There was only five competitors back then. Now there's more. And their plans, they're going to do a Mr. Ugly Africa and Mr. Ugly World. So, hey, there's something for us to aspire to.
Wow.
I think you got to – I don't think you can just say the guy can close his mouth. And I think this is a unique talent. Plus, if you're going to walk around with that grill all – I mean, fix your teeth. Ugh. He won $500.
Yeah. Where was – why was there violence, though? They're like really – people were beating each other up?
No, the other guy is very popular.
Okay. They agree. They disagreed with the ruling, huh?
Yeah, it was a bad judge. Bad judge. Okay. And so they went after him.
Cheating judges.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I wanted to just end it with an update on one of our ongoing sagas. You remember the fisherman Lake Erie who got caught putting weights? Back trying to win the Lake Erie deal. Well, they have reached a plea agreement with the prosecutors at Cuyahoga County. They have been charged with misdemeanor for unlawful. It was they pled guilty to felony charge for cheating in a competition and a misdemeanor for unlawful ownership of wild animals. They were going to go to trial, but they came up with the last minute. Over 30 witnesses were set to testify. I'm so mad that this didn't happen.
All a bunch of fishermen coming out on the podium. I love it.
Absolutely. You cannot cheat the game like that. You cannot cheat the game.
They're cheating the game. It's more than 30 witnesses set to testify, but didn't happen. They both, prosecutors going to recommend they get 6 months probation, no prison. A little weak. They do, however, they have a multi-year suspension from fishing licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to forfeit their boat.
Mm.
So the boat's worth $100,000.
Yeah, those boats are
lost a $100,000 boat to try to win the $28,000 by stuffing weights in the fish.
when you say you're forfeiting, what are you doing with it? I mean, you have to sell it? You just have to give it to the tour or whatever? And the tour
these congressmen ride around their boats instead of researching their laws. So it's going to be like the judge in Cuyahoga County is going to be out on Lake Erie with his nice fishing boat you got there, Judge.
Yeah, with his Lowrance radar looking for the walleye. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So crime doesn't pay, folks.
That's right. Don't cheat the game.
Don't cheat the game.
Especially don't cheat fishermen because they take that seriously.
Yeah, they do.
Remember, they kept winning and no one could figure out how. There was a lot of suspicion.
Oh yeah.
Then they cut that thing open.
And when they found it, when they found out about it, right? There was like a pretty big event, right? I mean, those two were alive, that they weren't taken out on the boat, Dexter style, dumped overboard.
That's right. With the weights in their bellies.
Yeah, I'll give one last one too. Alert reader David Huber, I think, at Hilltopper Nation, who's visiting his in-laws in Iowa. And he was reading the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He took a picture of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and there's a story, Des Moines taking extreme steps to find clean water.
Whoa.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All they got to do is go 30 minutes south to Ames.
North.
Isn't Ames south of Des Moines?
No, north. Hmm. I don't know. The Ames I went to is north. Anyway, they're saying they walk down and the water at the Des Moines River smells like ammonia.
Uh-oh.
So more lies. Central Iowa has some of the worst water quality you'll find, end quote.
You're right. Ames is north of Des Moines. My apologies.
Yeah. So one more bit of lies from Iowa.
Terrible. I got the line problem there and at Purdue.
Fishing. We got a cheating guy trying to cheat to be ugly. Guy trying to cheat to win the fishing contest. You got the Ames singers. Hooray, Ames. Cheating. We got Congress. What is going on here?
We're the last bastions of integrity on this podcast here.
Guardians. All right, that's our show. It was a weird one, but here we are. We'll be back next week. I don't know what we're doing. We're probably going Monday, right?
We'll see. Final Four.
We'll figure it out.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll have some stuff, though. Anyway, keep subscribing. Appreciate you. And we will talk to you later.
Go to L.A., number 9 best city in the USA.
For a glass of water when you visit our town. Crack a smile.
Drink it down. It's the cleanest around.
Hooray! We love it in the city.